Here we have two speakers tonight. All right, the first speaker is, guess who? Pastor Christopher Asirwadam. So let's welcome him.
Couldn't escape today. But I'll try my level best. Oh, Father, thank you for this evening. God, pray. Thank you for your presence in our midst, Father God. Pray also for your anointing. God, put words in our mouth and cause us to listen to your word, Father God. Thank you. Bless this time. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. See, I was going through Numbers 13 and 14, and also Deuteronomy 1, and a little bit here and there. So, you all know what happens is Numbers 13. Israel was brought close to Jordan. Reduce the bass a little bit, or gain. It's going into my ears. Okay, thank you. So what happened is, Israel was just at the brink of Jordan, and Moses says, "Go ahead and possess the land." But the Israelites give a counsel to Moses. My counsel is like, let's send out spies and spy out the land, right? So they all, they choose one head from every tribe and they send them into the land to spy out the land. So they went, they saw, they carry a big bunch of grapefruit and they're walking like, I don't know whether they were filled with joy as they were walking, because the testimony that they gave was different, right? But they had nice, real beauty, size grapes, right? And they were carrying, two of them were carrying and coming. But I don't know what was their feeling inside, right? So as they come and they came to Moses and they gave a testimony, there were two different types of testimony. 10 guys joined together and 2 guys joined together. The 10 guys were interesting. They told him, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless," that's where the 10 guys said, "Nevertheless, the land is a good land, beautiful fruit, but nevertheless." Then they came in and they said, "There are giants in the land," so many things that they say. It's in 28:29. "Nevertheless," Numbers 13, 28:29. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites." And as they go on, they say, like, because the few things, like, the people are strong. They were not supposed to see that. The cities are walled. That shouldn't have been their concern at all, because God told them that I'm going to give you the land, and the land flows with milk and honey, right? They just go to survey what kind of land is that. That was the basic understanding. But when they come back, they say people are strong. Then the cities are walled up, and then very great. And then they saw Anak, the giants over there. So what they saw impacted what decision they made and what conclusion they made, and they completely bad report to the Israelites, and the whole Israelites backed off, right? And they were murmuring, and God had to judge them. So many things happened. Then if you see Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said unto them, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. So this was a different spirit. Caleb said, let us go up. So I was just going through a little bit of it. What was the difference, right? The first guys and the second guy, what was the difference? We all know it's faith, right? So I was just looking at like Romans 10, where how does the faith come in? One verse, faith cometh by hearing, right? When we go through the verse, I mean like the Greek thing of it, the hearing is in the noun form. It could mean the act of hearing, and also it could mean the thing that is heard. So the faith cometh by hearing. That means the act of hearing also, we could also say like we went to a court case, when is the hearing, right? We say that, which means the judge sits there and listens to the argument carefully and pronounces a judgment, right? So there's a careful listening and there is a judgment, conclusion of the judgment, right? So hearing, noun form, it could be an act of hearing, carefully listening to it, or it also could mean the thing that is heard, right? That was one thing which I saw. So faith cometh from the thing that is heard, or by a careful listening and understanding the thing that is heard, right? That's what I thought. So the faith cometh by the thing that is heard. So the thing that is heard becomes the source of a faith, right? It is not something that is like a manufactured hope, or it is not like a blind optimism, and it is not an intellectual assent. I know the thing in my mind, but in my heart I'm not exercising faith, right? And it is also not wishful thinking. It is something that is heard, the words of God, which I carefully listen to it, I heard, and the thing that heard is there in my heart, and that is the thing which is the source of my faith, right? That's what it says. Two more verses I would like to see in this Romans 10. Romans 10:16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. It speaks about the Israelites. They have not all obeyed. That word is hupoakuo. So it is like they have not come under the authority of what they heard. That is one thing which I want to say. And the second thing is in 10:21. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. The disobedient, when it says, if you actually see disobedient, the Greek word is like, it's A-P-E-I-T-H-E-O. It means the P-E-I-T-H-E-O, that means to persuade, right? A-P-E-I, that means they refuse to be persuaded. So this word in 10:21, where God says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient people, that they refuse to be persuaded, right? So if I have to like put this three things together, the faith comes through the thing that is heard, right? Or under careful listening, right? And also putting myself under the thing that is heard, right? That is one thing. And the second thing, I am not in a place where I am not allowing it to persuade me in my heart to enter into obedience. That's what faith is. So Israel were in a place where the two things are, the thing that heard in the verses following was Romans 10:18-19 and all. It says, did they not hear? There was a question that was asked. Faith cometh by the thing that is heard. Did they not hear? Did Israel not hear at all? No, they did hear, right? In Numbers 13, we see that when they came back and they said, surely the land was flowing with milk and honey. That means they heard what God said and they saw the land to be according to what God said. That means they heard, right? Just that, then what did they, probably they hear it, they didn't hear the full aspect of it. The thing that they heard, they did not allow the thing that heard to persuade them into obedience. That's where they fell short of faith. They heard the thing, they didn't put under the thing that they heard, and also they didn't allow the thing that they heard persuade them into obedience. So if we have to look at this, as an application, one more thing, which in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Right? The Romans 10 tells us how faith is produced in the heart of a man. Here it says the definition of faith is the thing. It's a substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of the things not seen. If you actually really see the Greek part of it and you just see what it is, faith is the assurance, right? So faith, number one, faith is the assurance, and number two, evidence, if you really see in the Greek, it is the conviction. So faith, the one that has been, if they had heard the thing, the word, and if the word they have hid it in their heart and they put themselves under it, and if they allowed the word to persuade them into obedience, then that faith would have been an assurance and a conviction in the obedience as they enter to obedience in this aspect. So for us, the word that we hear, if you hide it in our hearts and you come under the authority of, and let the words to be persuaded, right? Let the words to persuade us, then we will be in a place where we'll have this faith that will be an assurance of the things not seen, right? It's not the thing that we see the heights. It's something that we have not seen. The assurance of the things not seen and the conviction that God is able to fulfill what he has told. So the word that we heard produces that in our hearts. The word becomes a source and the word produces, if we put ourselves under it and if we allow the word to persuade us in our heart into enter into obedience. That's what I was thinking. Then one small example which I was also thinking is from Daniel 3, right? If it's, you also know this part of the portion also. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were put before a statue, and they were commanded that when the music is played, they have to bow down before the idol, right? And here they are not doing it, right? And when the king gave them a second chance, this is what he says. He calls them and he says, I give you a second choice. He says, now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? So this is what he gives them, a warning, right? And what did they three people say? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and sent to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I mean, like, we are not bothered. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, that's a hypothetical situation. If not, if he doesn't deliver, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship. It's a very interesting thing, right? If you really carefully read this thing, see, but if not, but if God doesn't deliver, right? Just before that he says, if it be so, if you're going to throw us in the furnace, God whom we serve is able to deliver, right? And number two, from the burning fiery furnace. And then, but if not, that's where he says, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. So when they made these two statements, what did they say to the king? Hero, I wrote three, four things. The first thing is like, even if he doesn't deliver us, that means they said, we will still not question his purposes, right? Even if God is able to deliver us, right? That is the faith that they had. They put themselves under whatever they heard, and they had the assurance and the conviction of what they heard. Faith is not something that originates inside of us. It's something that has been, it is something that originates, it's from the source, that is the word that is inside of our hearts. I can exercise faith only if the words of God abides in me. Anything outside of that is just wishful thinking or manufactured hope or something else, right? So these people, they said, the interesting thing about faith is it believes when the times are, when the situation and circumstances are contrary. Like in the, even the, if you see Hebrews 11, everybody is in the same seat. They believed when the situation and the circumstances are contrary. Abraham did it, everybody did it. So here in this situation also, the situation is contrary, but their statement is like, even if my God doesn't deliver, right? Even if he doesn't do so, that means they're telling, we will still not question the purposes of God, and we will not still doubt, right? That's what they say. And the number two, they're like, the other thing what I thought is like in 16, he's able to deliver us. That means they still don't doubt his power, right? Even if God decides not to deliver, their statement is like, we still will not doubt his power. He is able to do that, right? He is able to do that, and we still will not question his purposes. And then the third thing is, and also the other thing, we will not doubt God's goodness towards us. So to them, it is like whatever happens, right? So this is what he says. But if, verse 18, if it not be so, that means, be it known unto thee that we will not serve, right? It looks like a great resolve, but more than that, I think it's solid faith in the words about God, right? So they said, we still will not question the purposes of God. We will not doubt his power. We will not doubt his goodness, but we will submit to sovereignty and give sovereignty the prerogative to act in our case. That's what they're telling. So that's the faith that they exercise. This is not something that they manufactured and they had it within them. It is not some kind of resilience that they had. It's nothing of that sort. They were also carried into captivity. They were like captives over the place. But the thing, what it says is, the words that they heard, the thing that they know about God, that they allowed that thing to persuade them in the heart to enter into obedience, that they will not worship the idol, right? And then they put themselves under the authority of the word that they heard. So that's a very interesting thing, I thought. So that's what faith is. It's something that has been generated through the thing that I heard, and it causes me to enter into obedience, right? And it persuades me into obedience. And as I enter in, I have this assurance and the conviction that whatever God has said will do, he will do it, and it will happen. And I don't doubt his goodness. I don't doubt his purposes. I don't question his purposes. Don't doubt his power, anything like that. I just submit to sovereignty in whatever situations he puts himself in. So for an application, I was just thinking, what is the thing what is the thing that is inside of us that is persuading us in our walk with God? I'm like, that's just a question mark. See, if you put ourselves under the word, we hear the word and we hide it in our hearts, right? When we hide the word that we hear, and then we let it be in our heart, then we put ourselves under the authority of it. We are not in a place, like Israelites who did not allow the word to persuade them to enter into obedience. We don't put ourselves in that place, but we put ourselves in a place where the word that we hear, we allow it to persuade it in our hearts and to enter into obedience by faith. And as we do that, then that's when there is an assurance and there is a conviction concerning the thing that is heard. And then we could go forward. And the thing, the beautiful thing is, his grace will be there guiding us and being with us. Like with the three Hebrew boys, Christ was there in the midst of them. We may not see, maybe Christ will be there with his physical presence, or maybe not, but definitely he will be there with us, and he will guide us through any kind of situation. So just say thank you.
Thank you. It's good that Pastor Chris did not escape, right? It's really good, Pastor. Thank you so much for your words. No wonder why Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, right? So it should be like that. It should be like that. Only the words should characterize our life. Okay. So we have a lot of time this evening. I honestly believe so. The day is not over. We can think it's over. We have a few hours left, but if you think, we have a lot of time. So the presence of God and the message, so can we are dealing with eternity, correct? Coming in touch with eternity. So you can't put a tag and saying that the day is met. Okay. So I had two portions, but before we go in, I would like to throw some words. What you need to do is you need to precisely. Good to see Emmanuel. Precisely say maybe a phrase about it. Not, suppose, for example, if I say word, right? So whatever comes to your mind, you can say. So we will take 10 words and you can tell your neighbor, okay? So we'll pray. Father, we want you to bless this remaining part of the evening. Thank you so much for the introduction and the life of it, God. And bless this portion in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, the first word is foundation. No story on it, just one word. Maybe civil engineering, basis. That which superstructure is built on. Okay, did you finish it? Finish the word? Okay. Olive tree. Olive tree. Vignesh, oliva maram. Olive tree. You have to tell your neighbor one thing about it, right? Olive tree. Okay. If I'm from Kerala, maybe I will say coconut tree is better than that. Hmm? Right? Seriously. In Vizag, all the other trees fell during Hudgod, but coconut tree did not. Like then Pastor Shibali said, the height of the from the ground is the same as the depth of the root, right? So, olive tree. Second word. And third one is casual beginnings. Casual beginnings. Something that you start. Hmm? Casually, you know. I started going for a walk every morning. Okay. Fourth one. Grace. Grace. Then fifth one, final touch, architect, the final touch. Final touch. So now, I think you can mention a word to your neighbor, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And now you, maybe you can say one more sentence combining all the words. Capacity. Capacity. Okay. Pastor Chris spoke about the words, right? Anointing. Oil. That which I don't apply. Anything you can say, right? You don't have to be. Plumb line. plumb line. So these 10 words directly or indirectly come in Zechariah chapter 4. So let's turn there. Zechariah chapter 4. So God is linking these 10 words. Lampstand is one that is missed. Right? 9 words plus 1, lampstand. Then the angel of the angel who was speaking to me, speaking with me, returned. So which means the angel was previously talking to Zechariah 4 times. This is the 5th time. So then the angel who was speaking with me returned and aroused me, which means he went to sleep, as a man who is awakened from his sleep. If you notice, why did he go to sleep? Because the angel met him 4 times. He went to sleep. Can you imagine that, right? So if the angel meets me tonight, then I write a book about it tomorrow. But the men of God in the Bible, they fell asleep. Whether it is Daniel, because the angels showed the messenger showed the future things. So it was kind of a book of revelation. So when the messenger showed the future things, the man of God, what he could do is he can just fall asleep. That's it. That's right. That's contrary to what today, you know. So we speak a lot about, like, you know, I saw this and that and all. Daniel chapter 10, Daniel went to sleep. And I think Genesis 15, when God showed the future thing, Abraham was in the middle of the sleep, 15, 16, I think. The reason why he went to sleep is it was so scary, right? It was like troublesome. So he went to sleep. And sometimes it happens to us. We don't even know. We don't even see the future. We kind of feel troubled. Correct? We don't know what's going to. Here, the man of God saw what is going to happen to Israel. It was like, ooh. The best that he could do is fall asleep. So, but thank God that God doesn't stop us there. And he wakes us up. And he tells, what do you see now? One more time, right? And I said, I see, and behold, a lampstand all of gold with its bowl. That is what I named it as capacity. Okay? That which holds on the top of it. So there is a lampstand. On the top of it, there is a bowl. That is not the same thing that you would see in tabernacle. Only the lampstand, right? There is no bowl on top of it. But here, Zechariah is getting to see that. And it's 7 lamps on it and 7 spouts belonging to each of the lamps which are on top of it. Also, 2 olive trees by it. One on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side of the bowl. There is a bowl. From that bowl, there are 7 pipes. Okay? That's what the vision. 7 pipes from the bowls. And the lampstand will have 7 things, right? What is that? Nobody knows. Wick, 7 wicks, right? So these 7 pipes are connected to that 7 wicks, meaning to say that the place where the wick is burning with the oil. So the bowl is full of oil. The 7 pipes are taking the oil to the 7 lights that are glowing on it. And he is getting to see. It's a simple vision, right? And there are two olive trees, one on the right side of the bowl and the left side. And I said to the angel who was speaking with me, "What are these? I don't understand," right? So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what are these? What these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord, I don't understand. I see the lamp that is glowing and then the pipes that are carrying the oil from the bowl. Maybe I'm adding to it." And then he said to me, "This is what you need to communicate to the man, Zerubbabel." That's it. Simple. "You as a prophet, take this message, the vision, go and tell him. Saying, not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord." Simple message, correct? After seeing a vision, what do I go and tell the man who is building the temple? You just have to say that, not by your might, not by your power, but God is going to do it. That's it. This is the only message as a prophet you need to communicate after seeing this vision. So I think it will be a little bit of a release for Zechariah, because after these four things that are judgments, this and that and all, but now God is saying that it's all going to be okay. So you have to say some more things to him. 7, "What are you, O great mountain?" That one word I missed, mountain. Maybe I said 8. "Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. He will bring forth the top stone, the final touch, with shouts of grace, grace to it. Also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house." So the final stone or top stone or capstone or final touch will also be done by him. And his hands will bring in the capstone or final stone or final touch. "Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you." And then he says, "Don't despise the small beginnings." Right? You put the foundation, right? Don't just walk by it. How many times we just kind of like pass by it, the foundation? So what could be the reasons why we pass by it? The reasons are given here. Maybe we thought that we can do it, right? Maybe we thought that we could not do it. Maybe we thought that it is just a small thing that I started, early morning prayer. Maybe it's a small thing that I did in the night, maybe praying with my child. Or maybe it's a small thing that I started, the book of Matthew. Many things, or soul winning, anything. My job, right? Anything. Learning a bike, learning a car, anything, you can put it there. So weight loss, right? So one message Pastor Shala said, I hit it. I hit the bullseye when he said weight loss. Right? Anything. Anything it could be. My exercise in the morning, right? So I pass by it because I took the load of it on myself. That is what God says. You see the vision, you go and tell Zerubbabel, he laid the foundation. Tell him that he is going to finish it. Right? Tell him that he is going to bring the top stones. But currently you see a mountain before you. shouts of grace. Grace, 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 grace. You won't even realize that it has become a plane and you have crossed over it. Right? So God wants us to maybe take from our closets all the foundations that we have laid in our lives by the beginnings of God. He really wants us to do it. Maybe the Bible college that I left, and then he wants me to continue. But there are so many mountains that, you know, the voices that we hear against it, and the voices that are within, and we kind of give in to it, and we pass by the foundation. God says, you see this vision? The oil to the lamp is not... You know, how is it coming? He explains it. Let's do that. For who has despised the day of small things? Pastor Anil frequently speaks about the church that began, right? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro, not just that one particular activity, man, the entire earth. Seven eyes speaks of the completeness of God's acknowledgement, meaning to say that what you call it as small beginnings, God has not considered as something that is negligible. His eyes could see the entire earth to and fro, and yet notice that small part of your life and count on it. That's like, who are we to kind of like skip it? Right? So that makes me all the more interested, because it is God who began and it is God who is going to do it. Which means he is not putting any load on me. He just wants me to be available. So after this message, Zerubbabel must have been like, wow, I can go for a cup of coffee now. Right? So then, and then God says, I'm so happy about the plumb line in the hands of Zerubbabel. He has not thrown it away. He's just still holding it by faith. So then he says that I have taken notice of your small thing. It could be applicable for any Sunday school child. Small thing. God has counted on it. Then I said to him, wait a minute. I still not got the complete understanding of the vision. I just don't want to go like, you know, everything I got. No, I need to make sure that I got the vision completely. I said to him, what are these two olive trees? What is the connection between the vision and what you are saying? Let me get the complete picture of it and settle it and have the settled conviction in my heart, not a passing thought. So what are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand on it? I answered a second time and said to him, what are these two olive branches coming from the olive tree, which are beside the golden pipes, which empty the golden oil from themselves? Which means the oil, what is the oil speaking of in the Bible? The Holy Spirit, right? So the light, so the olive tree, the oil is coming. You know, there is the promise of the Spirit of God that is given to us. We are sealed by Him, Ephesians 1:13. So the oil is dripping from the, through the branch from the olive tree on the bowl on top of it, right? The branch, the oil drips, and then there are seven pipes from the bowl, and then it directly connects to the seventh part of the lamb. And the lamb is going on. And So he answered me, he said, do you not know what are these? I said, no. These are the two anointed ones standing by the Lord of the whole earth. This is another interesting. That is nothing but Zerubbabel and who is the other man here? The priest. What is his name? Joshua. That's it. You know who are they? Who they are standing by the Lord of the whole earth. You and I are standing by the sovereign God, which means God's hand is upon us. I'm here talking about something that is not even God is looking at. But God's seven eyes are fully focused on the faith beginnings. And he is fully acknowledged that part of our life. And he is with it. And he says that this oil is supplied, right? And the lamp is going on. This is the small vision. There is a bowl, which is not in the tabernacle. But these are the things. But the secret behind it, grace. It's my spirit that is going to do it. And go and tell him, the man who started the foundation will also bring the capstone and put it upon it. So it is for us to take this and in every aspect of our life. Maybe I may have 10 foundations parallelly, right? Maybe 3 are not even Hawken and 2 and 7 are half or whatever it is. Or all the 10 are going too good. So, but God is saying that don't despise the small beginnings. Don't even consider that as a... Because we have ways to sum it up and we have ways to put it as miscellaneous, write it off. But God is not like that. His seven eyes are fully on it. He is so happy about the plumb line in the hands of Zerubbabel, right? So that's the righteousness of God, you know, the way he sees. Our plumb line, when we hold, right, we hold it by grace, we hold it by the righteousness that has been gifted to us. We just keep shouting grace, 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 and the mountains become plain. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this full evening and complete, God. So, we have your formula, if we can use that word. And that is the introduction that we heard. Your word from the Bible, and that is deposited in my heart, and I count on it and I believe it. And your spirit that is in us, God, and the grace that is available, and the hands that are on the foundation, and the plumb line in my hand, the acknowledgement of your seven eyes on the activity. My standing is right next to the sovereign God and the vision that is given to me, God. Thank you so much for your word and your finished work, God. Bless this evening and maybe really as we go back home, count the blessings, Lord, one by one, and be thankful for what you are doing in our lives, God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.